Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Yud Gimel. We're starting from Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are continuing from our discussion what we had yesterday. Yesterday we had a very basic discussion in terms of the very definitions of Mavui versus Chatzer. How to be Mesakin a Mavui, how to be Mesakin a Chatzer. Quick recap in terms of Tikkun Mavui. So as we learned in the Mishnah back on Yud Alf Amud Beis, the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Eliezer, three opinions in terms of how to be Mesakin a Mavui. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, either a Korah or a Lechi is used to be Mesakin the entrance of the Mavui. How exactly does the Korah Lechi work? So that seems to be up for discussion. Although the Gemara yesterday pretty resoundingly concluded that both of them operate as a Hecker, but could be that they serve as a Hecker, could be that they also act in some way like a Mechitza. That is by a Mavui. What about by a Chatzer? So by a chatzer, the correct tikkun of a chatzer, both this halacha is both said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan and the name of Shmuel. The tikkun chatzer, that if you have a chatzer where it's opened up into a Rishus HaRabim, or as we learned yesterday, it doesn't even have to be Rishus HaRabim. It could be any area that you're not allowed to carry from the chatzer into that area, like a Carmelis, like another chatzer, where the Nerev was not made jointly. So the correct tikkun of a chatzer would be either a pass of four tefachim, one beam on the fourth wall that's four tefachim wide, or a pass on both sides of the entrance of the chatzer, on the exposed fourth side of the chatzer. That is our tikkunim for both mavui and for chatzer. What's the difference between a mavui and a chatzer? So that we're going to see right now as we need to finish up yesterday's daf. We're going to go over that information right now, and then we go on to today's daf Yud Gimel. Oh, we're right in the middle of the Amud. We left ourselves off yesterday. We're about halfway down on the Amud, on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Okay. Let me just go back a little bit. Eli'i itmar hachi itmar. Okay, just to start from a good starting point. Amar Rav Yehuda Mavui Shein Aroi Li Shituf. If the Mavui is not fit for Shituf, meaning I cannot do Shituf with this Mavui, so, Echsher Balechi Azrak Letocho Chayiv, meaning it's a Mavui Mefulash. It's a Mavui that goes from that's open on both ends. And then, Echsher Balechi, if I corrected it with a Lechi Azrak Letocho Chayiv, so then you'd be Chayiv if I threw something into it, meaning a Lechi actually creates a wall by which you were now creating a Rishos Yachid. But if all I did was just the korah, the horizontal beam over the top of the entrance of this mavui, so then you're going to be potter because a korah does not form a wall. So the Gemara says, what do you see, at least according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, lechi mishum mechitza, that lechi operates as a mechitza, the korah mishum hecker, and korah operates as a hecker. Rabbi agrees with Rav Yehuda. The Rava Amar, and then the Gemara quotes the position of Rava, Echazev, Echazev Mishum Hecker. No, both of them serve as a Hecker, which means that neither of them are creating any type of partition, which means then that if I have a Mavu Mefulash, and all I did was just throw a Korah on top, or put a Lechi on the side, it doesn't create a wall, an additional wall, and it does not become a Rishus Hayachin. Eisvei Rav Yaakov Arva LaRav Azorak LaMavu Yesh Lo Lechi Chayiv Ein Lo Lechi Potter. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says that if I have a Mavui, so if it has a Lechi, so then throwing into it would create a Chiyuv. If it does not have a Lechi, throwing into it would be Potter. So Hachi Kamer Ein Otzarech Ela Lechi. The Gemara says you have to understand Pshat in the Braisa. What the Braisa means is if all the Mavui needs is a Lechi, i.e., it's a Mavui Sasum, it's closed in on three walls, so now it's a Rishos Yachid. So by throwing something into it, you'd be Chayiv, because assuming you threw from Rishos Rabim into this Mavui Sasum, Lechi V'davar Acher. But if this requires a Lechi in something else, meaning it's not a Mavui Sasum, it's a Mavui Mefulash, which means it only has two walls, which as we learned back on Dav Vav, how to correct such a Mavui, Machlokus between the Tanakam and Chananya, Machlokus between Rav and Shmuel had a Paskin. Either way, the point being, it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So V'davar Acher Azorak L'Tocho Potter, by which that means then if I throw something into such a Mavui, I would be Potter. Good. Eisve, the Gemara now challenges. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm a Rav Yehuda. Mishnei Shlosh Nebat. Mishnei Tzid Rishos Rabbim. Ose lechem mikam v'lechem mikam v'kar mikam v'kar mikam v'nosim v'nosim v'emsa. Rav Yehuda says, in addition, yes, sir, Alkain. Right, we've seen the statement already a number of times. Second time in the Masechta, we saw the statement of yes, sir, Alkain. But, and we're going to see it later on in the Masechta as well. But the simple point is that if I have a mavui mefulash, it's a mavui which is open on both ends, and then I put a lechi or a korah on either side of them, no sev and no semem, so you can carry in the middle, in between these two areas. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, two walls creates a Rishos Yachid. Amru lo, they say to him, in Ravin Rishos Rabin Bekach. You can't do that. You can't make an Erev out of Rishos Rabin, meaning it's mafulash, it goes from end to end. So, no room for an Erev. So the Gemara is suggesting, what do you see? Two walls create a Rishos Yachid. So the Gemara says, okay, Hasam Kasav Rav Yehuda Shemechitzas Dareisa. Correct. According to Rav Yehuda, two walls creates a Rishos Yachid. But we don't hold like Rav Yehuda. We hold like the Chachamim, which is three walls creates a Rishos Yachid. Okay, good. Let's just quickly summarize. It's very straightforward. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is, short of Rav Yehuda, who says that two walls creates a Rishos Yachid, we need three walls. Three walls creates a Rishos Yachid. Oh, so why the Korah, why the Lechi? But that goes back to all the way to the beginning of the Masechta. That's because it's opened up into a Rishos HaRabim, and so we just need to demarcate where the Mavui ends and where the Rishos HaRabim begins. But to create a Rishos HaYachid, so you need three walls. Good. And now the Gemara over here is going to give us definitions. Meaning, by a Mavui, Korah, Lechi. By a Chatzir, Pas Arba'ah. Right? A slat of four Tvachim on the fourth side. What's a mavu? What's a chatzar? Meaning, it's really the same, right? They're both a three-walled Rishos HaYachid. So why are they treated differently? Not why. What makes them different? What exactly about the physical nature of these structures make them different from one another? So the Gemara now goes on to define. So, Amar Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, Mavu Sharko Karachvo, and you need to belechi mashu. So if I have the arko kirachvo, where length equals width, meaning a square. So then it's not a kor mashuhu, sorry. A lechi mashuhu is not going to help. Amrav chia barashi, amrav mavu sharko kirachvo, and then tabikora tefach. Basically the same point, just not using the example of lechi, but that of korah. Meaning if length equals width, if the shape of this mavui is a square, it's not a mavui. It now becomes a chatzer. So just simply throwing a korah over the top, that's not going to help. Lechi or korah only helps by a mavui. And a mavui has to be where length is greater than width. Amar Rabbi Zera kama mechav nishmaita desabe. Rabbi Zera says it's perfect. Like really, really precise. Came into arkva karach v'havalei chatzer. Because once length equals width, so now it's no longer a mavui. It defines as a chatzer. The chatzer in terms, lechi v'korah. And a chatzer cannot be corrected with either a lechi or a korah. Ela pas arba'ah, but rather a four tefach slat on that side. Amar Rabbi Zera ikashli hakashli. So Rabbi Zera says, look, I'm so far so good. Meaning, we understand now that there's something called a chatzer, there's something called a mavui, and once the shape is no longer rectangular, but now it's square, so now it defines itself as a chatzer. I have no problem with that. I think that's perfect. But hai lechi kapas mashu v'nishtari. But what Rabbi Zera says is, but what bothers me is the following. What's the difference between a lechi and a pas? Meaning, a lechi serves as a correction for the mavui. A pas serves as a correction for a chatzer. Isn't that the same? So, ishtamitza dehad amar Rav Asi amar Rav Yochanan. So Rabbi Zera forgot what we learned on Amud Aleph, that of Rav Yochanan. Pase chatzer tzrichem shebem arba'a. Huge difference. Lechi, what's the width of a lechi? Any amount, a kol shehu, a mashu. When it comes to a pas, what's the amount of a pas? Four tvachim. It's a huge difference. I'm Rav Nachman Akin and Ezu Mavi Shinita Balechi Vekora, kol shearko yosa arachvo. Okay, and as far as now, rectangular shape of a mavoi, all you need is length to be greater than the width, and it serves as a mavoi, and ubatim v'chatzeres p'suchim l'socha. Furthermore, in order to be defined as a mavui, it has to have two chatzeres opening up into the mavui, and each chatzer having two houses. Now, I keep repeating, by the way, two chatzeres and two houses in each. You don't have to read the Gemara that way. If you look at the Baal Tosfos, however, he does read the Gemara that way. Rambam does not. But the halacha is two chatzeros, and each chatzer having two houses in it. The Ezu chatzer she'enu nitaras b'lechi v'kora. Now, what would be a chatzer where lechi v'kora would not work? Ela bepasar ba, but rather you need a slant of four tfachim. Koshim merubaas. So the Gemara says, if it's square, meaning once it's no longer rectangular in shape, but once now the shape of our courtyard is square, it's no longer defined as a mavui, it now defines as a chatzer, and I'd venture to guess, even if you have chatzerim and batim opened up into it, it doesn't matter. Once it's a square shape, it cannot be defined as a mavui, it's now a chatzer, and now you need pas arba'ah. The Gemara says, now specifically, now what does that mean? What if it's not square in shape? What if it's circular in shape? Circular chatzer. Does that mean that we could use a lechi or kora? So hachi kamar. The Gemara says no. Iyarki yosar rachva havale mavui, umavui v'lechi v'kora sagya, v'ilo havale chatzer. Gemara says no. We're not defining a chatzer. We're just simply saying when it's not a mavui. It's not a mavui if you don't have length greater than width. That was a lot of negatives, but I'll just flip the sentence into a positive. A mavui only is where length is greater than width. Once you don't have that configuration, once you don't have a rectangular shape where length is greater than width, it's not a mavui. It now defines as a chatzer, and the correction is going to be a wider slat for that fourth wall. The comma. Okay, and last question on this topic. Great, length is greater than width. We've been saying that again and again. So does that mean at any amount, or does it have to be a specific ratio between length and width of our mavui? Machlokas. So Shmuel says 2x. In other words, if our entrance of the mavui is x, so length has to be at least 2x. Now I'm the one who said at least. In other words, I'm assuming it doesn't have to be exactly 2x, but at least 2x. So if the entrance of the mavui is 10 amos, that means that the length of the mavui has to be 20 amos. So Rav says to Shmuel, actual conversation between Rav and Shmuel, we see it. In other words, they lived in two different communities. They were Rosh Yeshiva of two different communities, but here we have a debate between the two of them, or here in this case, a discussion. Hachi Amar Chabibi, and he quotes Chabibi. Chabibi, who is he quoting? His uncle. His uncle, Rabbi Chia. The Gemara beginning the Pesachim talks about the relationship between Rav and Rabbi Chia. So anyway, Rabbi Chia, so Amar Chabibi, afilo mashahu, any amount. Meaning that as long as the length exceeds the width by any amount, it can be defined. It is going to be defined now as a mavui. Again, provided that you have a chatzer sabatim opened up into it. And now it defines as a mavui. So now it can be corrected with either a lechi or with a kora. Okay. Good. That takes us now up to today's daf. And we begin today's daf. I mean, every daf is enjoyable. Today's especially enjoyable. Today we really cut into some very basic issues about Torah Shabbat Peh. Today's daf, you're going to see Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim, right? How you can have two Tanaim, two Amoraim arguing with one another, and they're both right. Okay, I'm sure there's a better way to say it, but that's coming up in today's daf. Really, some basic daf today, and we finish off today's daf with a question of maybe it would have been better had we not been born. It's a very positive and promising way to end today's daf. Okay, but let's begin. Rabbi Kiva Omer al Zev al Zanechleku. Now, first, a technical question, and that is just simple pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a number of opinions in terms of how to correct your mavui. Then along comes an anonymous student, who we're going to identify today, and he says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, well, if the entrance of our mavui is anywhere from four tfachim to four amos, no disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, either a lechi or a korah. If it is anywhere from four amos to 10 amos, debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel says either a lechi or a korah, Beis Shammai says you need both, lechi and a korah. Good. That is our Mishnah. And then Rabbi Akiva says to this anonymous Talmud, no. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, regardless of the width of the entrance of the Mavui. It could be 4 amos, it could be 3 amos, it could be 10 amos. Beis Shammai says Lechi and Korah. Beis Hillel says Lechi or Korah. So, technical question, but the Gemara always asks this question. When Rabbi Akiva is opining, what is he adding to the Tanna Kamma? Meaning, we knew this already. The Tanna Kamma basically told us this, not explicitly, but it's clear the way the Mishnah set up that what Rabbi Akiva is telling us is exactly what the Tanna Kamma told us. So, you know, the Gemara hates when the Mishnah just simply repeats itself. What's the subtle difference, if any, between what Rabbi Akiva is saying versus what the Tanna Kamma is saying? Gemara asks exactly this question. Rabbi Akiva Haina Tanna Kamma, Ika Beinayu. The Gemara says, yes, there is a subtle difference between the two of them, and that is the Rav Achlai Vitema Rav Yechiel. Remember what we learned yesterday's daf, where if the entrance of the Mavui is super narrow, so then it doesn't need any correction whatsoever, neither Alechi or Korah. What does that mean, super narrow? So if you remember yesterday's daf, we said four tfachim. The entrance of the Mavui is four tfachim, that's tiny. That's a foot entrance wide into our Mavui, so it needs no correction whatsoever. Now, the Gemara yesterday said this is possibly a Machlokas Tanayim. The Gemara today is saying, same story. It's possibly a Machlokas Tanayim. Meaning that's going to be the subtle difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Akiva. Now, of those two, who subscribes to this viewpoint and who does not subscribe to this viewpoint? So read the Mishnah, and I encourage you to read it again and again and again. It's really not clear from the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Lama Saime, meaning it's hard to tell. In other words, I know that one subscribes to this, another doesn't, but I really can't tell you which one does and which one doesn't. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva lo Amar Rabbi Shmuel Davrzeh, Ela Oso Talmud Amar Davrzeh, V'halacha Ka Oso Talmud. So, Rabbi Akiva, here we have a Braisa recording the same reaction that Rabbi Akiva says when he overhears, not overhears, when he hears his student, his anonymous student, quoting Rabbi Yishmael. He says, first of all, Rabbi Yishmael never said it, you said it. And secondly, oh, by the way, the halacha falls like that Talmud. Now, if you're confused thoroughly, good. Hagu Pakasha. The Gemara says, what? So, Amart lo, Amar Rabbi Yishmael never said. When first Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yishmael never said that. So what are you hearing? You're hearing Alma Leis Halacha Kavasei, meaning that's not the halacha. And then Hadar Marat Halacha Kaoso Talmud. And then he says, and oh, by the way, even though Rabbi Shmuel never said it, but that's the halacha. Well, if he's rejecting the fact that Rabbi Shmuel never said it, how can he then immediately respond and say, and that's, by the way, the halacha? I'm Rabbi Yura, I'm Shmuel, lo, I'm Rabbi Kiva, Ela Lechadid Ba HaTalmidim. So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi Akiva wanted to see everyone's listening and paying attention, and he wanted to sharpen his students. Now, normally when the Gemara says, L'chadim bo atamidim, it's that the Rebbe deliberately says something wrong, and he wants to see if everyone's listening and picking up on it. Look, I do it all the time. It just, by me, it's not deliberate, but in other words, it happens. Here, however, if you take a look at Rashi, I don't think that's, in the context of our Gemara over here, does not seem to be what Lechade Bo Talmidim means in our context. Rashi writes, not Rashi. Tosos writes, Lechade Bo Talmidim, looked at the wrong side of the Amud. Ein lefarsh kamar b'shar duchte leidaim yadu la'ashiv al dvarav. Demeach hasham v'shalo amar rabbi shmol dar v'zeh me'olam haviyodim shalo amar ki im l'shavcho. Actually, what he was doing was praising this particular Talmud. As we're going to see in a moment, we haven't identified him yet. I know who it is. I'm going to let the Gemara, tell us who it is. But in other words, in this particular case, he wanted the students to know this one is special. Okay. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Nira Nitmar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. What Rabbi Akiva, he never became it and say the halacha follows like that student. But in other words, it looks that way. Meaning, it's an interesting viewpoint. By the way, in other words, let's just reiterate what we're talking about. We're talking about whether or not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to agree when the entrance of the Mavui is 4 amos or less than 4 amos, that all you need is a Korah Lechi. Meaning when we keep going back and saying, and by the way, the halacha falls like that Talmud, and that's correct, and did Rabbi Shmuel say it? Did Rabbi Shmuel not say it? I mean, if you think about it, which we're going to do together now for just a moment, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning all we're essentially saying is that when the mavu is less than four amos, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree. Look, even if they disagreed, we're still going to go with Beit Hillel. We're not going to side with Beit Shammai. So I'm not sure right now what we're driving at when we're saying, does the halacha fall like this Talmud? Did Rabbi Shmuel say it? Meaning did or didn't? It's not going to change what the halacha is. The halacha is still going to fall like Beit Hillel. So I'm curious. I really don't know.
On base, we're going to say we don't hold like this Talmud.
Right, correct. Right. And you're with me in terms of not identifying him. I don't know right now what the halachic discussion is, because ultimately, of course, we're going to follow Beit Hillel, and we're not going to follow like Beit Shammai. So it's hard to understand what this discussion is all about. So anyway, Amar Nir Nitmar. Amar Vishur Man Levi Kol Makom Shatam Motze Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Talmud Achad Lefnei Rabbi Akiva Eino Ela Reb Meir. Rabbi Yeshua Man Levi tells us who this is. Meaning, I have an anonymous student quoting Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Meir. Okay? And we see Rabbi Meir time and again throughout the Mishnayos. Right? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, late generation Tana. So that's who, and by the way, late generation Tana, he's a student of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva experienced Chorban Abayas. He's a student of Rabbi Akiva, so we're talking about post-Chorban Tana. So and how do I know it's Rabbi Meir? Because in addition to being a student of Rabbi Akiva, he also was a student of Rabbi Yishmael. So Talmud Echel Lefnei Rabbi Akiva Einu Ala Rabbi Meir Shishimish is Rabbi Yishmael V'es Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Meir first studied under Rabbi Yishmael, then studied under Rabbi Akiva. Did Tanya, and how do I know this to be so? Amar Rabbi Meir Kisha Yisi Eitzel Rabbi Yishmael Yisi Matel Kan Kantom L'toch Adyom. Rabbi Meir by profession was a sofer. He was a scribe. Okay, we're going to see that in today's daf. And what he wanted to do was make powerful ink, indelible ink. And what he did is he added a chemical. Now the chemical is kankantom. Now the truth of the matter is, it's important to identify it. I don't know what it is. Tosfos has a debate in terms of what it is. As we're going to see over the course of this daf, it's controversial whether or not you can add kankantom to your inkwell in order to use it to write Sifrei Torah and other tefillin, mezuzah. So it's controversial whether you could use it. When he was by Rabbi Yishmael, he added the chemical kankantom into the dio, v'lo amar li davar, and Rabbi Yishmael was totally fine with it, because Shabbat tells Rabbi Akiva, asra alai. And then when I moved and studied under Rabbi Akiva, so he said to me, no, you cannot throw kankantom into the ink. Right now, all we're just trying to get from this Braisa is that first his Rebbe was Rabbi Shmuel, and then his Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. Now, Eni the Gemara says, and later on we're going to discuss why it was so controversial to throw kankantom into the ink. Eni v'am Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Meir Kishayitil Omer Eitzel Rabbi Akiva Itamato kankantom L'toch Hedyo V'lo Amar Li Davar Kishabati Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel Amar Li B'ni Mamalach Techa. Now here we're going to have another Braisa. Same story, same names, reversed. He was by Rabbi Akiva first. He threw kankantom into his ink. Rabbi Akiva was totally fine with it. Then he moved to Rabbi Yishmael, according to the second Braisa. Rabbi Yishmael says, what do you do for a living? Amarti lo lav larani. His response is, I'm a sofer. Amarli b'ni avizari b'malachtecha shemalachtecha malach shamayimi. So Rabbi Yishmael gave him a muster shmuz. Be very careful. Your work is extraordinarily important. It's malach shamayim. Shema tamechaser osachas miyaser osachas. And what you may end up doing by either omitting a letter or adding a letter, Nimseis Machriv is called Ha'olam Kulo. You're going to be destroying words. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm right and I'm wrong. You're going to be destroying words and you're going to be destroying worlds. Interesting. Tosfos over here, examples. What would be examples of either with the addition or the subtraction of a letter how you're going to be destroying worlds. So take a look, first take a look at Rashi, where Rashi talks about omitting a letter. Omitting a letter is the destruction of a world. V'al Hashem Elokim emes im tachzer im tachzer aleph hare atam makriv. Right? If instead of saying V'al Hashem Elokim emes, pasuk in Yishayahu, I'm not sure. It's a pasuk in Navi. But in other words, if you don't write the word emes, but you take out the letter aleph, so you'll be saying something which is blasphemy. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu Mace.
The footnote
says Yirmiyahu. Okay. I'm sure the footnote did its fact checking. So the im techtar aleph hare atamach vaydabar Hashem im tosif os achas v'techtar vaydabru nimtzeis machrif. Another example says Rashi, instead of saying vaydabar Hashem, you add the vav, make it singular, turn into plural, disaster. Okay, then you're talking about no longer monotheism. Take a look at Tosos. Tosos gives other examples of addition or subtraction. Omiyasar osachas, kamo, bracious bara, baro. Very similar to Rashi's example. Rabbeinu Meir, kibam rabosef, kamo, haval, hava. Another example where the pasuk in Yecheskel, I did not look it up, I do not know context, hava, hava, hava. And what you do is, on the second word, hava, the sofer adds a yud, changes it to Shem Hashem, and that means that there's some entity, Hava, which is over Hashem. Again, more blasphemy, machriv es ha'olam, destruction of the world. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. However, the problem is obvious. In Braisa number one, first he learned by Rabbi Yishmael, who was fine with kankantom. Then he went to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva nixed it. According to Bryson number two, he first learned by Rabbi Kiva, who was fine with kankantom, and then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel nixed it. I'm sorry, let's read that inside. I don't think we've read that inside yet. Unim says machrev is kolam kulo. Amarti li davar echa yishli v'kankantom shmosh ani matal tocha dio. So Rabbi Meir was saying to Rabbi Shmuel, don't worry, I throw kankantom into my ink, it's all good. Which, at this point in time, it's hard to understand. The Gemara is going to ask this question. What does that mean, don't worry? What is adding or subtracting letters have anything to do with the adding of the chemical kankantom? Anyway, the Gemara is going to ask that question in just a moment. And Rabbi Shmuel says, you can't do that. You can't throw kankantom into your ink. The Torah says, v'kasav umacha. By Parsha Sota, we have a mitzvah in the Torah where, if you have a sota, she drinks the mei sota, but before doing so, you write parsha sota on a cloth, you throw the parsha into the water, and the Torah says, and the letters will erase. So in other words, although we want the Torah to last as long as possible, they at least have to potentially be erasable. So, when you throw kankantom in, it makes the ink so indelible that that's not good. It has to be ksav where it is at least potentially erasable. Good. All right, now, obviously we have a big issue over here. Who was his Rebbe first? Who was his Rebbe second? We have another big issue. Who allowed kankantom? Who didn't allow kankantom? And before we get to these very basic questions, the Gemara just wants to know, what was the exchange between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Shmuel in the second brisa? My kamalei, my kamahadolei, hachi kamalei, lomi bai b'chaser v'ser saloti ini debaki ana. Here is a more detailed explanation of Rabbi Meir's response to Rabbi Shmuel. First of all, Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Shmuel, don't worry about me adding a letter. Do not worry about me omitting a letter. I'm an expert. I know Sefer Torah clear. I know it inside and out. There is no reason to worry about me adding or subtracting a letter. And furthermore, and what about the fly, the pesky little fly who sits on the edge of the letter Dalet while I'm writing, gets up, flies away, and there goes my little tag, my little leg, extending off the Dalet. And what he's going to do now is turn the Dalet into a Resh. Davar Echa Yeshli. So Rabbi Meir says, I don't have to worry about that. Because my ink is so strong, it's so powerful, that even if that were to happen, there would still be ink on the corner of the Dalet. The tag of the Dalet will still be there. I put Kankantam Shmo Shani Mato Tochadio. I put it into the ink. No need to worry about that as well. That's a more detailed explanation of what Reb Meir said to Reb Meir says to Rabbi Shmuel. All right, Stu, am I remembering correctly? Reb Meir on Purim wrote his own Megillah by heart. That was Reb Meir? I think it was. Meaning, hopefully I'm correct. Right, the story, the Gemara Megillah tells us where once upon a time Rabbi Meir was traveling. It was Purim. He didn't have a Megillah, and so he wrote one by heart. Right, which, by the way, the Gemara over there questioned, you're not allowed to do that. Whenever you write any one of Sefer Torah, you have to write it from a pre-existing Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to write it by heart. And the Gemara, again, I'm just going off my memory, the Gemara over there said it was Shas HaTechak, it was a time of need, and it's Rav Meir. Rav Meir was an expert. Hold that thought for just a moment. Okay, we're going to come to that in just a second. Kashi Shimash, Shimash, Kashi Asra, Asra. So first of all, two basic questions. Who was Reb Meir's Rebbe first? Who was his second? Conflicting reports. Secondly, who liked Kankantum? Who didn't like Kankantum? Again, conflicting reports. Now, Bishlam Hashimah Shashim Shlo Kasha Mikara Asla Kami De Rabbi Kiva Umidala Matzla Mekam Alibe Asla Kami De Rabbi Shmuel Begamer Gamire Vada Asla Kami De Rabbi Akiva V'Savar Savra. So, as far as Rabbi Meir and who was his Rebbeim, that one says the Gemara. That's easy. He first learned by Rabbi Akiva and didn't understand what was going on in Shir. Rabbi Akiva was talking and just speaking way over the head of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, this is not working out. So he went to Rabbi Shmuel, got the basics from Rabbi Shmuel. I mean, I said the basics. I mean, we can only imagine what the basics are. And then, now that he went to Rabbi Shmuel, and now he's more proficient in learning, goes back to Rabbi Akiva, now I get it. And by the way, Rabbi Meir shouldn't feel bad. He wasn't the only one who didn't understand Shir Rabbi Akiva. You know who also didn't understand Shir of Rabbi Akiva? Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara Menachos, the Gemara over there, tells us that Moshe went and visited Rabbi Akiva and Shir, obviously 1,200 years later, but that for Moshe that wasn't a big deal. And also did not understand what was going on in Shir. So Rabbi Akiva Shir, let's just say it was a difficult Shir to understand. In the meantime, however, so that's fine. So who was his Rabbi first? Okay, now we have the full story. First Rabbi Akiva, then first Rabbi Shmuel, because he didn't understand. Back to Rabbi Akiva, good. So that part we got. Ella Asra Asra Kasha, but in terms of the conflicting reports of who liked the Kankantum, who asered the Kankantum, so according to Brisa number one, Rabbi Akiva asered it. According to Brisa number two, Rabbi Shmuel asered it. Kasha. The Gemara ends off by saying, look, that's difficult. I have no way of resolving that, and of course we're going to move on. Meaning, and we get this in the Gemara a number of times, where the Gemara presents an issue. It is an issue. The Gemara acknowledges it's an issue. And we're left now to our own devices to try to figure out what could be a possible resolution. Okay, so that's your homework for tonight. Tanya Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Meir Haya Omer L'chol Matil Kankantum L'chol Chadyo Chutz Mi Parshat Sota. Okay, and now, Danny, basically we're going to get to your issue, which is basically as follows. Meaning, what does Rav Meir believe? What's his thought process? Look, if I were to be writing actually Parshat Sota, so then correct, I wouldn't throw Kankantum in, because it needs to be erasable. And if I threw Kankantum in, the letters would go into the water, but the ink wouldn't erase. So I wouldn't do it. But for a Sefer Torah, that's different. Rav Yaakov Amar Mishmal Chutz Mi Parshat Sota Shebemikdash. Sorry. I'm sorry. Let me repeat that again and let me say it correctly. According to Rabbi Meir, I would, when writing any other part of the Sefer Torah, I wouldn't throw Kankantum in. But when I wrote actually Parshat Sota of the Torah, meaning when I got to Parshat Noso, and I got now to the Parshat of Sota, there I would change inks. I wouldn't use a Kankantum ink, I would use a non-Kankantum ink. Then the Gemara, okay, good. Now that I said it correctly. And now let's move on. Chutz mi parshat sota. Rabbi Yaakov amar mishmo chutz mi parshat sota shebe mikdash. And Rabbi Yaakov says no. Even in the Sefer Torah, he would write the parsha of sota with kankantom ink. If there was an incident, an event where he'd be writing for an actual sota in the Beit Hamikdash, then and only then would he use non-kankantum ink. My beinayu, the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two positions? Amar Rav Yirmiyahu limchok la min atarika beinayu. The difference is the following. What if in a pinch, meaning we have a sota, and I have a Sefer Torah, can I cut out Parsha Sota from a Sefer Torah and use it for this particular Sota? The Gemara says that's the difference. Limchok la min haTorah ika beinayu. So v'hani tanai ki hani tanai. So the Gemara says, and what we're going to try to do now is align. What we just learned now is a machlokas. Can I take Parsha Sota of a Sefer Torah and in a pinch use it for an actual Sota? Okay? So, or do I have to write it specifically for her? The Gemara says it seems to parallel the following machlokas. D'tanya, a megillah takshir lashkos basota acheres. Let's say I wrote a megillah for one sota, and for whatever reason she didn't need it. She admitted it. She died. Whatever the case is, she didn't need it. So now in comes another sota in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, a gently used sota parchment. Can we use it now for our second sota? So according to the Tanakhama, no. Amy Gilat Taksher Elashko Basota Kheras. Rav Achi Bar Yoshi Amar Migilat Taksher Elashko Basota Kheras. And the second opinion of the Brisa, Rav Achi Bar Yoshi, says you can reuse a sota parchment. Now, what the Gemara thinks is that this machlokas over here parallels the previous machlokas. The Gemara is going to point out right now, not necessarily. Amra Papa Demalohi, Adkan Lokamar Tanakama Hasamalakim and the Intik Lashem Rachel, Sula Hajamintka Lashem Leia. Look, the Tanakama of the most recent brace that we just learned together, his position actually is pretty clear, which is, once I write it for one woman, then you can't turn around now, and for whatever reason we didn't use it for her, and now use it for another woman. That you can't do. But if I'm writing in a Sefer Torah, when the Sofer is writing it for a Sefer Torah, he didn't have any particular woman in mind. In fact, he wrote it for a Sefer Torah. So maybe there he would agree that if necessary, if needed, you can cut it out of the Sefer Torah and use it for a particular woman. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Demalohi. And again, another way to distinguish between the two debates. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Achi bar Yosha hasamala de ichta mi la shum sota ba olam ava gabe tor de islamic sive hachinam de la machkinan. The Gemara says, and another fundamental difference. Look, when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you're writing it for the purpose of learning a Sefer Torah. Meaning you can't use that for a sota. That by design was not meant for a sota. By design that was made, lehit lamed, to learn from. So you can't, even if you are of the position that I could take one sota parchment and reuse it for another woman, but that's because when I initially wrote it, I wrote it for the purpose of sota usage. But I can't take a sota from the Sefer Torah, which is not intended for usage. That's intended for learning, and then use it for actual usage. Okay. Well, if I wrote, I mean, it's a good question, but the simple answer would be, once I write it for a sota, it has also a lot of kedusha. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Shem Hashem. In fact, the Gemara comments, and Rashi on Chumash brings it down. Right, we're erasing Shem Hashem, but again, for Shalom Bayis, for those purposes, yes. So it's a fair question, but the answer is very simple. We do it.
Huh? You detach a section, and then you.
Yeah, in other words, correct. By the way, I didn't make that point very clear. I kind of assumed, but yes. In other words, we're not going to take the entire Sefer Torah and throw it into the water. We'll just cut out the sota portion of the Torah, and then we'll replace it with another. Now the Gemara wonders. So it's strange that second position, which is that I could reuse a sota parchment. Strange, right? The Gemara says, especially after considering the following: Kasav get lagarish es ishto venimlach. Umatzo ben Irov Amashimcha Kishmi Vashemishti Ishakha Kishemishti. So the Mishnah in Gittin, I think third parak, the Mishnah in Gittin discusses the following. Guy decides he had it with his wife, he's going to divorce her, he writes the get, right? And then, before giving it to her, he says, you know what? It's not worth it to divorce her. Okay, or to make amends, however you want to finish the story, right? It can be happy, it can be sad. Either way. And so what does he do? He takes it again, he throws it in the garbage. Good. And along comes another guy, passes by the garbage, picks up this piece of paper. Interesting. Oh my gosh, a sign from God. This get happens to have my name, happens to have my wife's name. And so he goes running home and he says, honey, you won't believe what I found today. And so the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, I'm making way too light of this. And the Mishnah says it will not work. That second guy, as lucky as he is, as coincidental as it may be, he cannot use the get for his wife. Why? Very simply, because there's a requirement of Lishma. That when you write a get, it has to be, even if the names match, specifically for one particular couple, soon to no longer be a couple. But in other words, there's a Lishma requirement. So the Gemara now wonders, if there's a Lishma requirement by get, there isn't a Lishma requirement by Sota? So the Gemara asks this question, Shimcha Kishmi, V'Shem Yishtecha Kishem Yishti, Pasal Gashbo, Hachi Hashta. The Gemara says, they're not comparable. Hasam V'Kasav La. In the Parsha of Gerushin, the Torah says, and you write for her. And that's specific, for her. So, and not just for her, but V'Kasav La. When you write it, it has to be for her. Being Ksivul Shema. Hacha v'asa la kasiv. But when it comes to Sota, yeah, there's a Lishma requirement. But not on the Ksiva, on the Asiya, on the performance. Now, what do we mean by performance? The Gemara is about to explain to us. That's the actual erasing of the parchment. Being an Asiya Lishma, Asiya dida mechika hi. And that is the mechika, the erasing. So, you're right. There is a Lishma requirement by the Sota parchment, but not by the writing of the Sota parchment, by the erasing of the Sota parchment. And that's why, at least according to Rabbi Achi, you could take a Sota that was intended for one woman and reuse it for another. Yes, there's a Lishma requirement, but only on the erasing, and obviously it hasn't yet been erased. So first of all, as long as we talked about Rabbi Meir earlier, being a student of Rabbi Shmuel, then going and learning under Rabbi Akiva, now the Gemara will spend some time telling us how great Rabbi Meir was. And the Gemara says, unequivocally, the greatest of his generation. Now you're going to find this very often. Right? In other words, put this in your file. And every time you're going to see Rav Meir's position in the Mishnah, usually it's not the accepted halacha. Now, by the way, I caution everyone, thank you. I caution everyone, Stam Mishnah Karev Meir, meaning that Rav Meir's position is so powerful that we default into saying that if we have an anonymous Mishnah, it falls like Rav Meir. But anytime you see Rav Meir's name mentioned by name in a Mishnah, it usually is a not accepted position. And now the Gemara wonders, he's so great, greatest of his generation, so why not have the halacha follow him? He was, if I can say this, too great. Meaning, he was, people couldn't keep up with him. People didn't understand him. Right, he would go into shir, and he would say, oh, you see that that's tummy? I'm going to explain to you why that's not tummy. It's tahor. And the Talmidim are looking at him like, what are you talking about? And he would do the opposite. And again, he was ahead of everybody. And Rav Meir, the Gemara says, is not his name. By the way, if all this sounds familiar, it is because just been here, just did this Gemara back in Shabbos. So the Gemara says his name is Rav Meir because he illuminates. Shumer Ene Chachamim Balacha. V'lo Nu Raishmo. Did I skip a line? I think I did. So lo Rameir Shmo, Ella Rabbi Nurai Shmo. His name is not Rameir, but rather it's Rab Nurai. And why is his name called Rabbi? Meir Shomer Einechacham and Balacha. Okay, sorry. Velo Nurai Shmo. And then the Gemara goes on to say, and perhaps his name isn't even Nurai, but Ella Rabbi Nechem Yishmo, Vamila Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Shmo. He either went by, his name was either Rabbi Nechem or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Velo Nikra Shmo Nuhurai Shemanhir Einechacham and Balacha. Okay, what's the difference between Meir and Manhir? Okay, unsure. Okay. But again, he illuminates. Amar Rebbe, hi, de mechadna mechavrai, de chazisa or meir machavrai. And the Gemara goes on to explain the Rebbe says, look, I learned by Reb Meir. By the way, you get a great shalshalas over here for today. The Masorah of the tradition of Rabbi Akiva teaching Rabbi Meir, and then in turn teaching Rebbe. And Rebbe says, now by the way, some have it as here being not Rebbe, but rather Rav. But either way, the point of the Gemara is that when I was in Shir, I heard Rebbe in Shir. And the fact that I'm so smart is because I heard Rebbe Meir in Shir. The Chazisa or Meir Machorai, and I sat behind Rebbe Meir. The Ilu Chazisa Mekameh, have Mechad Notfei. Now I'm telling you, by the way, if I sat in front of Rebbe Meir, for whatever reason, he didn't sit in front of Rebbe Meir, whatever the story behind the story is over there, but I sat behind him, had I seen him, I would have been even that much greater. The Pasuk says that you should see your Rebbe.
Wasn't this sitting by ranking? So you're saying that he would have been a
higher. Yeah, I don't. Correct. I don't know. In other words, yes, it is strange and odd that for whatever reason he didn't sit in front of Rav Meir, but rather behind Rav Meir. And I don't have an explanation as to why that is. I'm Rabbi Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Tam, and I yell Rav Meir v'simcha shmo. And a student of Rav Meir is out of Simchus. First mission, Bab Mitzvah, you'll see him. Shaya Omer, I'll call Davar v'davar shol Tamar b'im shmona Tamei Tuma. That if there was something which was Tamei, he gave 48 different perspectives of how and why it's Tamei. But I'll call Davar v'davar shol Tamar b'im shmona Tamei Tahara. And when he saw something which was Tahor, he gave 48 different perspectives of why it should be Tahor. The Arba b'im shmona Tamei Tahara, Tana Tamei v'atikaya b'yavne. Shaya Matar Sashar, it's been Mev v'chamisha Tamei. And there was a particular student in the yeshiva of Yavne who, when it comes to a sheretz, now we know a sheretz is Tameh, meaning, and this Gemara is going to be difficult to understand, but that's an unequivocal fact, at least so we think, that a sheretz is Tameh. The Torah says so. And meanwhile, this particular student gave 150 various explanations in terms of how we could say that this sheretz, which is Tameh, is in fact Tahor. I'm a Ravina, Ani Adon Vatarena. So Ravina wanted to try this out. Maybe I could do this. Maybe using my wisdom, my logic, my insight, I can also attempt to make a Sheretz Tahor. How am I going to do that? Well, let me employ the following argument. Look, a snake. Now, interestingly enough, a snake is not a Sheretz, meaning it is a creepy, crawly thing, but it's not one of the eight Sheretzim that give off Tuma once it dies. And meanwhile, a snake causes so much death, it bites, it kills. Snakes kill. And meanwhile, the snake itself is Tahor, even though it's a causative of Tuma. Sherishain, may Mr. Marbet Tuma, lo kol shekain, a sheretz. One example of a sheretz is a frog. Okay? Now, I know people are scared of frogs, but honestly, in other words, you shouldn't be scared of frogs. Everyone in my house recoils when they see one. In other words, they're harmless. I know there's some poisonous ones out there, but they're harmless. And meanwhile, it's a source of tumah. So, and I'm sorry. If the snake, let me get the logic straight. If the snake causes death, and meanwhile it's not a source of tumah, so a frog, I'm just giving a frog as an example. Any one of the Shemona Sheretzim, even though they don't cause death, they also should not be a source of tumah. That's our argument to try to be metaher a sheretz. Velohi, the Gemara says, that's not a good argument at all. Maisa kotz ba'al makavid. A snake kills, but that doesn't speak to the very nature of a snake. In fact, the Gemara says, maisa kotz, it's a thorn. Meaning, right, you walk through a thorn bush, right, it pricks you on the finger, you start bleeding, but that doesn't speak to the very definition or nature of a thorn, nor does it speak to the very nature of a snake. A snake may kill, but so what? Amr Abi Abba Amr Shmo Shal Shanim Nechlu Beshame Bethel Halal Amrim Halacha Kamaseinu Vaalal Amrim Halacha Kamaseinu. A debate between Beisham and Beisal that lasted for 3 years, each one vying for the halachic consensus. Yatsa Baskal the Amra, out comes the Baskal and says, Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Yes, they're both reflecting perspectives of Torah. Hain. The halacha ke Beis Hillel. But then the Baskal ended by saying, but you know, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. V'chimi achar she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Mimnei mazachu Beis Hillel kavavo halacha kamosam. So what did Beis Hillel do that made them zocha? Mimnei she'nochin va'aluvim hayu. So the Gemara says, such an interesting Gemara, the Gemara says it's an issue of midos, because of their character traits. Nothing to do with wisdom, with intellect, with superiority of argument. The Gemara says it has to do with midos. They are literally nochin, they are pleasant, ve'aluvim, and allow themselves to be embarrassed. V'shonen divrei medivrei Beis Shammai. And oh, by the way, whenever they record any debate, they quote their own opinion, and they make sure to quote Beis Shammai's position. And out of deference and respect to Beis Shammai, they always first cite Beis Shammai's position, and then they cite their own position. Ka'oso Shashanino, just get throughout one example. I know we're late, I know I have to stop. I'll just read a little bit more. Mishayu Rosh Avaruba Besuka V'Shachana Besocha Bayis. The other half of the year, right? I know we're about to hit Pesach, but if your head and the majority of your body fits in the sukkah, but you don't have room for a table, Beis Shammai poslim beisil machshirin. So Beis Shammai says, sorry, I'm thinking about sukkah katana. Sorry, sukkah gedola. Sukkah's big, but you're sitting in the sukkah. The table is in your house. No good, says Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says it's good. Amr Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Kelo Kacha Yamai Sasha Halchu Zikne Beis Shammai Zikne Beis Hillel Vakas Rav Yochanan Ben Chacharanis. We went to go pay a visit to Rav Yochanan Ben Chacharanis, who was sick. Umatzu Yoshev Rosh Avaruba Besukah V'Shulchan Besocha Bayis. And he had this configuration where he was in the sukkah, the table was in the house, and so how can you tell me it doesn't work? He did it. Amr Lehem Beis Shammai Misham Raya. So Beis Shammai says, what are you talking about? Avhein Amru, what do you mean? On that visit, there was consensus. Amru lo, im kach haita noeg, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. If that's the way you ate in your sukkah, you never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. Now talk about making somebody feel great about the mitzvah that he's performed. Oh, really? That's how you do it? Oh, I'm sorry, you never fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay, and I'm sure that made him feel wonderful. But the point being, however, is that the point why we're saying over this halacha is because whose position was recorded first? Beit Shammai. Whenever Beis Hillel recorded Beit Shammai, first of all, they always said Beit Shammai's position. Two, they always quoted Beit Shammai's position first. And the Gemara here talks about the importance, the significance of lowering and reducing yourself. And if you do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises you up. And the opposite is also true. V'chol ha-magbiya atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. And someone who tries to elevate themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the opposite, reduces him. Kol mechazer gedula, gedula bereches mimenu. If you chase gedula, greatness, it runs away from you. V'chol ha-boreach mina gedula. But if you want run away from greatness out of humility, gedula mechazeres acharav, greatness runs after you. And trying to force a moment, push and stress and press and really make something happen when it's not the right time, the Gemara says, no good. But if you're patient and you wait, time will work for you. Okay. I know a couple lines before we get to where we should end, but we're in good shape in terms of where we should be. Okay? Unbelievable daf today. First of all, Reb Meir, introduction to Reb Meir, student to Rabbi Akiva, student to Rabbi Shmuel. First went to Rabbi Akiva, then Rabbi Shmuel, then back to Rabbi Akiva. Talked today about him inserting kankantum into his ink. Talked about the greatness of Reb Meir. Talked about the inability of everyone else to keep up with Reb Meir. And we talked today about Machlok Chim Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. How both of them have a tenable position within halacha. But obviously we have to side like somebody. Baskol taught us, we side like Beis Hillel. By the way, not a couple of days ago, did we not learn in the Gemara that we don't listen to the Baal Kol? Right? Tosfos asked that question. We went over that Tosfos back then. Okay, and we have a little bit more to go to finish up today's daf. And tomorrow's Pi Day in Shas, right? You want to know about Pi and the Chachamim's knowledge of Pi? So come tomorrow for Pi Day. And by the way, I'll say this again tomorrow, but tomorrow's daf is Yudalit. Pi is 3.14. Okay, so it's a great way to remember where to find Pi in Talmud. Okay, Rabbi Chanan Yemen HaKash Amar, sorry, continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shon Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigayo. Rabbi Chanan Ben HaKash Amar Atzakash Baruch Hu, Zach Misol Ficha Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, Anay Chafek Saman Tziko Yagdil Torah Viyadir.